With the latest agriculture news from across the state and the nation, here's Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. Filling in for Danielle Leal, here's today's host, Brian German.
Good morning and thanks for tuning in to Farm City Newsday from AgNet West. I'm your host, Brian German, and hopefully everyone's Thanksgiving was a success and provided a good opportunity to get together with friends and family. As we're back at it again today after the holiday, we've got quite a bit to get to in today's program. So let's jump right in with today's top story. Farmers are continuing to make preparations to comply with the impending ban on agricultural burning. Director of Government and Public Policy for the California Fresh Fruit Association, Adam Borchard, recently provided some insight to industry members at the Grape, Nut, and Tree Fruit Expo in Fresno. As part of his presentation, Borchard highlighted some of the details that industry members will want to keep in mind as the phase-out of agricultural burning in the San Joaquin Valley continues its implementation.
Yeah, so just a little bit of background. This prohibition on ag burning in the San Joaquin Valley was initiated with a state statute that was passed in 2003. It is now going to go into full effect in 2025. However, as the local San Joaquin Valley Air Pollution Control District and the California Air Resources Board are reaching that 2025 prohibition date, they have instituted a phase-in process where beginning in 2022, the acreage threshold for burning will be under 2,000 acres for vineyards and under 500 acres for orchards. That will be phase-in with reduced thresholds until the final phase in complete prohibition by January 1st of 2025. And I do want to add that there is funding available for growers to chip and incorporate their biomass.
And California's investment into the organic sector continues with the further development of efforts from the Organic Agriculture Institute, a program of UC Agriculture and Natural Resources. As part of its first major public initiative, the Institute is conducting a statewide needs assessment for organic agriculture. The Institute will also be working to develop a knowledge-sharing network connecting UC experts with various other organic industry members. The new California Organic Agriculture Knowledge Network, simply known as CalOAK Network, will build upon previous collaborative systems established in the organic community over several decades. Director of the Institute, Houston Wilson, said that the new CalOAK Network will help to better connect organic industry members with technical and training resources available through the UC system. To learn more about the CalOAK Network or to join, you can visit organic.ucanr.edu. And now Randall Wiseman has a report on what's in store for the future of 4-H.
We told you yesterday that 4-H continues to broaden its extension in educational opportunities for youth across the country. Brent Elrod of the National Institute of Food and Agriculture believes for the future, 4-H will continue to see membership expansion,
where young people can develop the skills that are going to translate to whatever their career interests are. We want to be as expansive and embracing as possible, knowing that we've got a growing and changing and evolving population, and to be there and to be led by their youth voice.
Elrod said 4-H remains youth-driven and volunteer-led.
We work with our state program leaders and educators at the local level, along with those volunteers, to provide experiential learning to young people across all areas.
To learn more about 4-H, go to their website, 4-H.org. I'm Randall Wiseman for AgNet West Radio Network.
Thanks, Randall. Prospects for U.S. ag export values in the new fiscal year are good, but not as good as they seemed a few months ago. USDA's Gary Crawford has the report.
U.S. ag exports in this new fiscal year will hit $175.5 billion.
It's a little bit lower, $2 billion less than the previous estimate for this year,
which was made back in August, but $175.5 would still be a new record, beating last year by $3.3 billion. This from USDA's chief economist Seth Meyer, and yes, USDA analysts have sliced a couple of billion dollars off the forecast they made 3 months ago. The reason for that reduction:
some lower expectations for grains and oil seeds, mostly a price issue. So lower soybean and soybean meal prices, a little bit lower corn prices. So that's what's contributing to the decline, partially offset by increases in expectations of value for livestock, poultry, dairy, and maybe a little bit of ethanol, and cotton performing pretty well also.
But while USDA has cut its export forecast by $2 billion, it's added $5.5 billion to expected ag imports. Those could hit a record $165 billion. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Thanks, Gary. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has been working to issue the third and final payment to producers that were impacted by 2019 natural disasters. USDA began making roughly $185 million in disaster assistance payments back on November 8th to ag producers who suffered losses to 2019 natural disasters and who have already received Wildfire and Hurricane Indemnity Program Plus benefits through two previous rounds of reduced program payments. WIP Plus provided payments to producers to offset production losses due to 2018 and 2019 hurricanes, wildfires, and other qualifying natural disasters. WIP Plus covered losses of crops, trees, bushes, and vines that occurred as a result of those disaster events. The third and final WIP Plus payment is equal to the remaining 10% of a producer's full calculated payment. Once this final payment has been disbursed, FSA will have provided more than $3.1 billion in WIP Plus disaster assistance benefits. And the 7th Annual Latino Farmer Conference is set to begin next month as a webinar series. This year's conference will take place on three different days, Wednesday, December 8th, Wednesday, January 12th, and Wednesday, February 9th. All webinars will be held in Spanish and will start at 9 a.m. and last approximately 3.5 hours. Each of the webinars will feature a series of informative presentations, virtual farm visits, and opportunities to network with other farmers, farm educators, and sponsors. Registration is available at latinofarmerconference.incat.org. You're listening to Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. I'm your host, Brian German. We'll be back in just a moment with more of the day's national headlines and local reports, including our livestock report with Randall Wiseman when we return.
There's giant potential sleeping in your soil. Are you doing anything to wake it up? Phycoterra Soil Microbe Food activates the native microbes that are responsible for your soil's health and crop productivity. Adding Phycoterra to your cropping system increases soil microbial activity by up to 33 times and is proven to increase crop yield and ROI. Plus, its excellent mixability and application flexibility allow you to add it to your existing crop input strategy with a free ride to the field. Visit phycoterra.com to learn how you can wake up your soil's giant potential with Phycoterra.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley, state, and nation, and provides reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money and use water effectively. The folks from Wild Eye are excited for the return of in-person events. Come and visit the Wild Eye team at the upcoming Wine Industry Network Show in Sonoma or the Almond Show in Sacramento. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today at mywildeye.com.
BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. In today's national headlines, sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Association of Farm Broadcasters. The National Corn Growers Association says the Environmental Protection Agency didn't use the best science in assessing glyphosate, atrazine, and cimazine. The agency recently released endangered species biological evaluations for the chemistries, and NCGA says those final assessments vastly inflate the number of species and habitats likely to be adversely affected. Iowa farmer and NCGA president Chris Edgington says, quote, "The assumptions EPA made in drafting this biological evaluation are not based on real-world use of these products. It vastly overestimated the volume farmers use and instead relied on inflated levels that resulted in this evaluation," unquote. The recent evaluation looked at the effects of the three chemistries when used at the highest legal limits rather than at levels typically used by farmers. The EPA determination is also based on the assumption that the chemistries get used more frequently than estimates suggest. The EPA assessment will now get used by the Fish and Wildlife Service to determine if the products harm endangered species, which could result in restrictions. National Biodiesel Board CEO Donald Rehagen submitted testimony to a House Ag Subcommittee hearing on the renewable economy in rural America. His testimony outlines the contribution of the clean fuels industry in terms of jobs and value-added markets for agricultural goods and environmental health benefits. He says the industry's clean fuels are made from an increasingly diverse mix of resources, so they, quote, add value to fats, oils, and greases that might otherwise lead to costs for other sectors of the bioeconomy, unquote. Rehagen also says clean fuel contributes to the bioeconomy by reducing the impacts of costs of carbon and particulate emissions. Biodiesel and renewable diesel immediately and substantially reduce greenhouse gas emissions in difficult-to-decarbonize transportation sectors. The U.S. biodiesel and renewable diesel industry supports 65,000 jobs and more than $17 billion in economic activity every year. The NBB says its members appreciate the elected officials working in Congress to enact a long-term extension of the biodiesel tax incentive. These headlines are brought to you by NAFB and sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday from AgNet West. I'm your host, Brian German. And back again with today's livestock report, here's AgNet West's Randall Wiseman.
Well, in today's livestock news, some wonder how milk producers are responding to a squeeze on margins. Well, a new report from USDA kind of answers that question. Gary Crawford has more details.
U.S. dairy operators are seeing their margins shrinking, and they have seen that happening over the last couple of months.
Now the industry is starting to respond.
USDA Outlook Board Chairman Mark Jackanowski, the response, of course, a gearing back on production. USDA's newly released milk production report this week covering October. It says milk production last month, 18.5 billion pounds, 0.5% less than October a year ago.
And it reflects a combination of both lower cow numbers and reduced milk per cow.
The U.S. dairy herd in October averaging 9.4 million head, 14,000 fewer than October a year ago, 14,000 fewer than this past September. Milk per cow last month coming in at an average of 1,970 pounds, 6 pounds less than October a year ago. So earlier this month, USDA reduced its milk production forecasts for this year and next. Output in 2022 still expected to be a little bit higher than this year.
But it's just not increasing year over year nearly at the rate we would have expected it to.
This is Gary Crawford reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Thanks, Gary. And Mark Jackanowski, USDA's Outlook Board Chairman, has more information about projected trends in dairy production prices.
This month, the only downward adjustment in prices that we made was for cheese, where there's still very large supplies hanging over that market, weighing on prices. But on the other hand, butter and butter-containing products and non-fat dry milk are supported by very high international prices. So those price forecasts we increased for 2021. And for 2022, basically all of the product prices were forecasting to increase. And that reflects a couple things. One, expected continuation of strong demand, especially strong international demand. And also the fact that, we are forecasting lower milk supplies as well. So that's going to tighten up supplies at the same time that demand is strong and recovering. So that will support product prices in 2022.
Again, that was USDA Outlook Board Chairman Mark Jackanowski. And over this Thanksgiving holiday weekend, a survey by the National Turkey Federation says 88% of us will be eating turkey. And while most of those birds served up will be farm-raised, some gobblers will be hunted in the wild. Around 6.2 million wild turkeys trot around the U.S. are going to be found in 49 of the 50 states, of course, thriving in woodlands and grasslands. But according to NTF, most turkeys' lives start out on grasslands because mother hens build their nest in that area with just enough cover to hide them from their predators. But once the poults hatch, they need room to walk around without a lot of woody species getting in their way. And most turkeys do love woodlands, but they won't stay long if the understory becomes too thick. And NTF notes a properly managed native habitat is important for these animals. To learn more, go to their website, eatturkey.org. I'm Randall Wiseman for AgNet West.
This is Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. I'm your host, Brian German. We'll be right back in just a moment with more agriculture news.
There's giant potential sleeping in your soil. Are you doing anything to wake it up? Phycoterra Soil Microbe Food activates the native microbes that are responsible for your soil's health and crop productivity. Adding Phycoterra to your cropping system increases soil microbial activity by up to 33 times and is proven to increase crop yield and ROI. Plus, its excellent mixability and application flexibility allow you to add it to your existing crop input strategy with a free ride to the field. Visit phycoterra.com to learn how you can wake up your soil's giant potential with Phycoterra.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley, state, and nation, and provides reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money and use water effectively. The folks from Wild Eye are excited for the return of in-person events. Come and visit the Wild Eye team at the upcoming Wine Industry Network Show in Sonoma or the Almond Show in Sacramento. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today at mywildeye.com.
BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Welcome back to Farm City News Day by AgNet West. I'm your host, Brian German. For today's interview segment, I was able to speak with Assistant Vice President and Counsel for the National Pork Producers Council, Michael Formica, last week while at the annual convention of the National Association of Farm Broadcasters.
We are talking about the subject that you guys have been on top of since day one. We have been covering it since the beginning, and that's Prop 12. Let's just kind of start just generally, where we are in this process. It's been a long one, but where do we currently sit now that we're looking at the beginning of 2022 right around the corner?
Great question. We are 6 weeks out from implementation of Prop 12 for the pork industry. So all your pork carnitas, all the bacon coming in, all your hams, all your ribs. If you want to eat those, tough to say what's going to happen in January. 6 weeks out, producers are still struggling to figure out even how they can come into compliance. We've been waiting. California CDFA supposed to issue regulations in September 1, 2019. They had a comment period this summer. They ended the comment period August 27th. We're hearing, those in response to those comments, there's going to be now an additional comment period. Frankly, I don't, it's almost impossible to get this done before the end of the year. How do they get it done before next summer? Maybe. But meanwhile, the law is going to go into effect and nobody knows how to comply. And pork producers, none of which are located in California, they're all outside the state. It takes 8 months to breed a sow, birth the piglets, and then raise those piglets to market weight, harvest and process them, and put affordable, nutritious, and delicious food on your dinner plate. And I don't know how that plays out.
And not only are we looking at a time constraint here of, okay, we're a number of weeks out here, we're also looking at the amount of infrastructure that's actually there to meet the demand for pork in California. I mean, we're talking a pretty minuscule amount of producers out there nationally that are currently able to even meet some of these standards that, like you said, haven't really necessarily been nailed down yet.
Yeah, and so first of all, there are incredibly few pork producers. Almost none in California. I'm sure there's one or two people raising a couple of hogs, but they're not raising significant commercial quantities of hogs. So all of the production is coming from 99% of the pork coming into California is from outside of the state of California, not just in other states but also other countries. A lot of pigs, a lot of sows in Canada send piglets down to the Midwest to get fed out. Those Canadian sows now are going to need to be compliant. California's going to have to send inspectors not just to Iowa or to Minnesota, but they're going to have to send them both to Canada as well down to Mexico, maybe even overseas to Europe. It's a global market, but Canada produces a lot of pigs that get fed on U.S. corn and end up on your dinner plate in California. We have, there's already an existing high value added segment of the industry that grew up around what natural demand there was for this. It really is not very high. That natural demand doesn't exist out there. people are looking for affordable protein choices to put on their plate to feed their families. And you're talking about, this is our premium products. There's a little more production that's come in, but no one who's making those investments is clear that, you know, this investment, you know, experiment, if you will actually be Prop 12 compliant, especially in the absence of those regulations. And there's a, you know, there's both a hesitancy of the bulk of producers to make that investment, and also the financial difficulty. You know, you're talking $15-16 million investment for a new, you know, a new farm, new, you know, sow unit. You got to go to the banker. Most people don't have that money hanging out, you know. So you got to go to the banker. You got to show the banker your business plan. Banker's going to say, well, where is the market for this? Well, there's packers out there who are, you know, they're looking for these pigs, but are they looking for them and willing to pay the premium long term to pay off that investment? Right, you might get a premium this year. There's no guarantee you're going to get it next year or the year after, and so that becomes a real struggle. And so you're just not seeing large numbers of producers being able to financially figure this out. On top of all that, COVID, other supply chain questions, even if somebody can line all that up, they still need to find the steel and the concrete and the labor to build the new farm and then to manage the new farm. So Prop 12 is going to require significant changes in production standards. You're going to need skilled labor. There's going to be new processes. There's a lot of farm worker safety issues that pop up. You know, aggressive, large 500-pound sows, beating each other up is one thing. Now you've added, you know, a farm worker in there, and now they're, you know, that employee is at risk. And so we have to manage all of that. And again, we're still waiting on regulations from California.
So you're looking at investment of resources, of infrastructure, of time, of people. And we're 6 weeks out from this taking effect, but we don't have a definitive answer as to how this is actually all going to work out and what the hoops are going to be needed to jump through. So industry members and producers seem to be just kind of at a standstill at this point, just kind of waiting for things to be clearly defined.
That's right. They need some, you know, some clarity. They need some certainty in the system. They, you know, tell them what to do and they'll figure out a way to do it. They're going to want to comply with the law. They might not like it. And indeed, we don't like it. We think it's unconstitutional. You know, we're feeling, you know, cautiously optimistic about our chances to get a case up to the Supreme Court and to win there. We think things are trending in the right way, but that's still a really high hurdle. Ultimately, though, you know, the biggest loser in all of this are going to be California consumers, who are going to see, you know, your billionaires in Silicon Valley, the ones who financed, you know, this proposition, or your Hollywood, your multi-mega millionaires in Hollywood, you know, they're going to be able to afford $36 a pound bacon. But, you know, the average mom and dad trying to put food on the table for their kids, struggling as it is to make ends meet with skyrocketing gas prices, skyrocketing cost of everything, uncertainty about, you know, about the job situation, they're the ones who really will be harmed in all of this. And you're starting to see in California, I think, some realization of that, you know, enough is enough.
And we'll be back in just a moment with more of the latest agriculture news here on Farm City Newsday. I'm Brian German with AgNet West Radio Network.
There's giant potential sleeping in your soil. Are you doing anything to wake it up? Phycoterra Soil Microbe Food activates the native microbes that are responsible for your soil's health and crop productivity. Adding Phycoterra to your cropping system increases soil microbial activity by up to 33 times and is proven to increase crop yield and ROI. Plus, its excellent mixability and application flexibility allow you to add it to your existing crop input strategy with a free ride to the field. Visit phycoterra.com to learn how you can wake up your soil's giant potential with Phycoterra.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley, state, and nation, and provides reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money and use water effectively. The folks from Wild Eye are excited for the return of in-person events. Come and visit the Wild Eye team at the upcoming Wine Industry Network Show in Sonoma or the Almond Show in Sacramento. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today at mywildeye.com.
BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Welcome back to Farm City News Day by Agnet West. I'm your host, Brian German. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack also made a virtual appearance at the NAFB convention last week, where he highlighted some of the things he's thankful for this holiday season.
I'm certainly thankful for commodity prices being better today across the board than where they were a year ago. I'm thankful for the fact that agricultural exports also improved from last year and in fact set a record for this fiscal year and are on pace potentially to set yet another record next year. I'm certainly thankful for the extraordinary work of a lot of good people to get out pandemic relief to our farmers, ranchers, and producers. Over $6 billion has already been distributed with more to come before the end of this year. Those same hardworking folks at FSA offices across the country have also been responsible for, now get this, being responsible for also providing over $14 billion in loans to farmers, ranchers, and producers, roughly 27,000 loans have also been funneled through that system in addition to the pandemic assistance. So I'm very thankful for the extraordinarily hardworking folks there and also the NRCS folks who themselves during this pandemic stricken year were able to provide 43,000 conservation contracts impacting 21 million acres. So farm families across the country being able to invest in conservation. And I'm excited. I'm excited about what's next and what's up, what we can do over the course of the next several months at USDA. We're looking forward to taking advantage of the relief that Congress recently passed with the continuing resolution establishing a $10 billion fund for assistance for those who have been stricken by drought and for floods and fires and a variety of natural disasters. I spoke with Senator Hoeven and Senator Baldwin earlier this week and encouraged they were encouraging me, and I was reassuring them that it was our goal to make sure that these resources were provided as quickly as possible. Hopefully we're able to get the framework of this program out before the end of the year or the first part of next year, and hopefully maybe be able to make payments sometime in February. That's what we're shooting for. I'm excited about what we're doing in the Climate Smart area. As you know, we launched the Climate Smart Agriculture and Forestry Partnership Initiative, which we believe is going to provide an opportunity to create climate smart commodities, higher value proposition for farmers and producers, an opportunity as well to benefit from ecosystem markets that are being operated in the private sector so that we increase and expand market opportunities and income opportunities for farmers. Looking forward to launching that and the framework of that again later this year, the first part of next year, and hopefully being able to make decisions about pilot projects we'll be funding in the first or second quarter of 2022. Excited about what we're doing on the supply chain side, getting prepared to announce the loan guarantee program that's going to expand opportunities for storage and warehousing. At the same time, looking forward to launching our effort to expand processing capacity and also to provide additional resources for existing processing facilities so that they too can expand. Very excited about what we're going to be able to do with the recently passed infrastructure, bipartisan infrastructure bill. The expansion of broadband is certainly potentially could make your lives easier by expanding access to rural remote areas for high-speed broadband and all of the benefits that will bring to farmers who are interested in precision agriculture. to hospitals who are interested in telemedicine, to school teachers who are interested in distance learning, to business owners who are interested in market expansion.
To get more information on the topics you heard today, visit Agnet West online at agnetwest.com. Get even more connected by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching at Agnet West, and our team of Brian German at Brian German Agnet West and Danielle Leal with at D Leal Agnet West. This has been Farm City Newsday by Agnet West.